Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? Let me tell you, the struggle to find comfort in my body sometimes, I'm telling you, if you know what I'm talking about, and I know you do, then you have to try Hormone Harmony.
Yes, you do. The struggle is real. And Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon, y'all, for real. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
Wow, Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life, okay? So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause.
No.
Any woman with symptoms with hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like.
Okay, can I just say hot flashes and night sweats? They are wrong. They're just
Yes,
wrong
they
and
are.
evil.
Yes, they are. And racing thoughts and low moods. Let me tell you
Ugh.
something. My mind is like a chattering monkey all night long.
Feeling tired all the time, poor sleep.
Yes, and no desire to be in bed next to someone if you know what I mean,
Okay, I
okay?
know you do.
Okay. So, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FRANGELA at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code FRANGELA for 15% off today. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you.
All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz, which is actually kind of fun, and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles.
You guys understand what our lives look like. We are on tour. We are on television. We are hosting events. We can't be seen in the same top dress all the time. And Armoire makes our lives easy. We're able to show up looking amazing. And let me tell you something, we are hardworking women and over 45. So, we gotta, look good, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we all know the feeling, right? You open your closet, it is full, but you quite literally have nothing to wear. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date night, packing for a conference, or in need of a gown for a black tie event, which is like an extinction level event for me, you will be the best dressed person in the room without ever having to brave a fitting room with fluorescent lights.
And we all know how we feel about those. Oh, did we mention that Armoire is also woman-founded and woman-led? Okay, like us, okay? They even spotlight women-owned designers on their website. So we know we're wearing brands that are aligned with our values. We love that we can support a business that is built by women like us. And if you are ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you must try Armoire. We promise you will never, ever be without the perfect outfit for any occasion ever again.
That's right. And right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/frangela.
That is armoire.style. Again, that's armoire.style/frangela to get up to 50% off your first month and never, ever worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Hi, I'm Liz Winstead.
I'm Moji Alawode-Al.
And we're the hosts of Feminist Buzzkills, the only weekly podcast that helps you navigate the post-Roe hellscape.
We dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with our guests, the abortion providers and activists working on the ground. Plus, we have amazing comedians to help us laugh through the rage.
Feminist Buzzkills drops Fridays wherever you get your pod fix. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
MSW Media.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela, and welcome to The Final Word!
The Final Word with Frangela!
Frangela.
The final word.
We want to thank you for joining us here this lovely week on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and MSW Media,
where you get all your fine entertainment and information. Oh, I am so proud of the people we work with. I am so proud of the work we do and get to talk to you, and that you come into our community and form a community around us that is powerful.
It is. We want to thank you for those of you who are Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much. You are keeping this podcast, all of the wings we do, afloat. We are so grateful. And anybody who's considering being a Patreon, just go do it. It's so rewarding.
It really is. Just go to patreon.com, put in Frangela. It'll take you right to our page. And you know what you get when you do that? 3 micro idiots a week.
There are over 600, right?
We just keep baking them. We just keep baking them, Angela.
Keep baking them. As long as they're stupid, there will be the army of the anti-dumb.
That's right. And you get to be a part of it. Well, you are a part of it. What am I saying? And thank you to everybody who's ordered a cameo recently. Thank you so much. It has been our pleasure to wish you happy birthday, happy anniversary. Thank you for letting us be a part of your lives and bring well wishing into your world.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful thing to do. Get a cameo for you or give it to somebody else as a gift. So you go to Cameo and do it now. It's totally fun.
Yes, yes, yes. And guess what, Angela?
We got a show Saturday, y'all.
Woo! Baby! October 21st at the Saban here in Los Angeles.
But you don't have to be here in Los Angeles. In fact, no, you don't even have to be available Saturday night. All you got to do is go to sexyliberal.com and get your tickets for the pay-per-view. And then you can watch at your leisure.
At your leisure.
You can watch during the show live, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to watch this Sunday at like 2, or maybe like Tuesday. You get to plan.
It's all about you and what you want to do. $20. You know who else you get to see? You get to see Mama herself, Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Frangela, that's us, Malcolm Nance, Glenn Kirshner,
Rob Reiner,
Ron Perlman. Come on.
Do it. It's wonderful, and it's going to be an amazing alpha liberal, sexy liberal indictment tour show. It's the last one of the year, so go get your pay-per-view ticket.
Yes, and join us every Friday for the third hour of the Stephanie Miller Show for
the blackest hour in radio.
Yes,
it is. It's blackity black, black, black.
It's real black.
It's February every Friday.
Not laughing. The latest U.S. intelligence assessment concludes that Israel was not responsible for the blast at the Al-Ahli hospital in Gaza. Okay. There's a poll at the end that we were going to talk about in our notes here about how many people. Right now, 85% of voters say that they are concerned that the war between Israel and Hamas will escalate into a wider war in the Middle East, while 13% are not concerned. That's Quinnipiac. This is scary.
And I believe those 13% are asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a number of issues here, but this is the thing. I was watching MSNBC when, like, right after this attack, basically, you know, a few hours after it happened, and Nicole Wallace had on a woman who used to be in the Israeli military, and she lives there. I think she was a high-ranking officer, like a colonel or something. But she got very upset and was very angry and said so, that they were reporting that Israel had attacked this hospital, because she's like, you're getting that information from a terrorist group, and you don't know that, and it's not okay to do this. But then when Nicole asked her, do you have any information about this attack? What might have happened? Because we're talking about, she's like, even the numbers you're talking about, 500 people injured, you're getting that from Hamas. You don't know if that's true. And so we're also getting photos and pictures, like in video. Right. So there, right. But so Nicole asked her, do you have any information? And she was like, yes, I know Israel didn't do this attack. So then Nicole said, you know, how do you know? She goes, because we would not do that. The Israeli government would never target a hospital. But in fact, hospitals have been hit by Israeli target, you know, in the past. Mm-hmm. So, but everybody's very respectful and very whatever. But the thing is, I watched Nicole ask her over and over again, do you have any information? And the woman kept refusing to answer in that way by saying, basically, I choose not to believe that Israel could have had this attack, but I don't have, no, I can't give you any information right now, but I don't believe that they did. But she wouldn't say, I believe. She kept saying it didn't happen because, mm-hmm. but when you asked the next question, it was because it couldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem with this. She was right. The way things should be reported is pretend it's Trump and say alleged and call it, you know, like, mm-hmm. take care. And I think mm-hmm. that people weren't taking care. And they're not clear with when they report news. I didn't hear one anchor say, and I watched the evening news and everything, I didn't hear one anchor say this information from Hamas or from mm-hmm. where they got the numbers of injured even. And that is a problem. However, it is really, really hard. It's interesting to me that in this age of having more contact and the ability to assess more information than ever before, it's just regular folk through cell phones and different apps, that it seems like it's even harder to get correct information.
Yeah.
You know, or to know where the information is even coming from.
And also the information, you know, the raw information that's on social media, that's on TikTok and what have you, is, you know, gut-wrenching, frightening, scary, terrifying from whatever perspective you hold, you know? So, you know, what we're dealing with an actual government that of people that was attacked by a group of terrorists. And I was telling Tom this morning, my husband, I said, you know, the problem is with Hamas, that's not a government.
But it is. They run the Gaza Strip.
You know? Yeah, they're running the Gaza Strip, but they are a terrorist organization. See, the fact is that who from Hamas is sitting inside of any other system of government able to talk to and negotiate for their people? Who do we, can we identify any of those people outside of this is on the person on the terrorist warning list? Those people don't come out and say and speak and negotiate for their people. So they're not a government, actually. And so the problem is we've got millions of people who are unrepresented. And to me, they need to rise up and elect somebody who will speak their interests while they're in the street, while they're hungry, while their children are being bombed. That to me is, you know, what needs to happen for these people. And the world needs to figure out how to give these people, the people who are going to be harmed the most, a voice.
Well, there's just no way an election is going to happen while they're being bombed with 5,000 rockets. You know, like, there's just no way that's going to happen or can happen in the current situation without a ceasefire on all sides.
It has
And that would be the only way that could happen, because right now they're digging themselves out of rubble. They can't,
that's
every
right.
place they're told to run to is getting bombed. And so and it's the thing, Israel has to defend itself. And I understand that they're doing what they have to do. It's just, this is, you know, I am still shocked that Jared didn't solve this. I really thought he was going to.
Weren't we fucking told that Jared put peace in the Middle East?
You know, I'm really shocked.
But here we are.
But I have to say, the terrorist group is a matter of perspective, because they think our government is a terrorist group. You know.
But here's the thing. But we elect our, and they elected their people too, I guess.
We sort of elect ours.
You know.
We don't have a direct democracy either.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know. So it's you know. But all that aside, in terms of, like, you know, what we have to deal with today, it just was really striking to me because we have more information, but less, you know, and watching this hospital being bombed, you know, is awful no matter how it happened, but it is important how it happened. And I found myself post this sort of revelation and the Department of Defense coming out and saying that Israel was correct, that they believed it wasn't Israel. There's something tempered about the way they're saying it that makes me uncomfortable. You know, like, it just, the whole thing feels weird. And I think that I don't know why it does. And I in no way, I mean, I choose to believe, you know, what the government says sometimes, it's really hard. But what I know is that, you know, in the absence, people need to actually put forward whatever their intelligence is. And yet, can they, you know, does that make it hard for them to gather more intelligence? But in the absence of me having that look-see, just all feels really fraught. And like, it's hard to trust what's coming out of anybody's mouths. And it makes it even more hard when people aren't clear, like this woman wasn't, about their relationship to this information. Why they, you know, why they're not saying, look, this is what I've heard from people. Who were those people? Why should we trust them? You know,
also, this is what I will say, that Israel has had extreme restraint to this point, when they could have bombed Gaza out of existence.
Wow, and this is restraint?
This is, I think so. And because they haven't, here's the thing too, we are not ready here in the West for what this ground assault of going in to an urban area is going to look like with casualty.
Well, I think that I was listening to commentary on NBC, I think it was MSNBC yesterday, and they were talking about, they had a man on who was talking about the goal of this sort of attack, like Hamas. Like, they don't have all the rockets, but the goal, he said one of the goals is to get a ground offensive, because guerrilla warfare is much harder on a larger military like Israel than it is on these small sort of terrorist groups or guerrilla groups. She's like, so for them, the battlefield that works best for them is the urban guerrilla landscape. When we get away from drones and long range missiles and the technology that they don't have as much access to and that they don't have in as great supply. So sending in troops, this is the thing. We know that they know that that's one of the things that could or probably would happen with an attack this big. So I feel like that, and I think this is where that 85% of the, you know, U.S. public thinking that being afraid of a larger war in the Middle East. Yeah, because if their plan was to engage the military on a combat, you know, guerrilla warfare one-to-one level,
they're going to get it.
They're going to get that. Then that does start that, you know, it becomes a different animal. And I think the reality is that Israel's, everybody's going to obviously lose a lot of people, and that's just going to make them more mad, and that's going to make them recommit. And, you know, like, I read this quote yesterday, Sophocles. We said, basically, a man's, I can read it exactly. So let me read it exactly before I even guess.
Before you mangle it?
Before you mangle it. Because I really see that could be done right. Okay, this is Sophocles. All a man's affairs become diseased when he wishes to cure evils by evil.
Yes, absolutely. Only love can be applied to this situation. And for me,
the bravest way to respond to it, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. And peace.
I'm not saying that I'm the person who could do it either. Don't get it twisted. You come at me like this, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just saying. I'm not saying, and you know what? And here's the other thing too. It's like, yeah, Israel gets to have a response. They get to defend themselves. And yet this is so fucking scary. That's what I can say. You know, this is frightening. This is you know, and when you have people like Lindsey Graham going over and negotiating, it's like, what? Why? But that is why I was proud of Biden going, making sure that, you know, everybody understands what the United States' position is. And he kind of black mama'd it a little bit.
He totally black mama'd it. I love my president. Let me tell you, he's so black mama'd it. He's like, listen, for anybody, listen up, for anybody. We've both got our index fingers up and we're waving them around for anybody. And if you slow down the tape of this speech, you will see his neck move ever so slightly.
Totally. He did a neck roll.
He's like, anybody thinking they going to take advantage of this situation and step up in this mess? Don't. He said it like three times. Don't. Let me be clear. I will pull this world over. And the beating shall begin. Don't. I mean, so black mama that.
It was so like, don't make me go out here and get a switch off this tree, beat your behind.
In front of the entire Middle East.
Because I will make you go get your own switch.
Ooh, world, I will get a switch. You will pick out a switch and I will please till I hit the white meat.
Oh my God.
Okay. Ooh, I'll beat you into a new world view.
Yes, bitch.
Okay. That is exactly what that speech was. Why aren't you just
keep your ass back there.
I need a salute. That's all I need.
Yes, Hezbollah. You see me looking at you?
That's what I'm saying.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line, and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.
Welcome back. Sidney Powell, woo, former Trump attorney, pleads guilty in Georgia election subversion case. I'm going to say it again.
Could you say it slowly so I can. I'm not saying I'm Trump touching attorney, myself, but I'm touching.
Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election subversion case.
Let me tell you something. There's so many things I want to say. This is, God is good. This is a wonderful week for this mess. Let me tell you, this is what I like about so many things. But what I love about the Sidney Powell situation is right up until Wednesday, they've been throwing out every argument they could think of to try to get this case dismissed. And they'd actually gotten to the purely ridiculous. So on Wednesday night, the judge put out a ruled against one of their motions. I think it might have been their final motion to try to dismiss this.
Yes.
And it was because it starts tomorrow, right? It starts Friday, or which is today for you all. So she's like, okay, we just can't get up in that courtroom. We can't get up in that courtroom. Because once we're in that courtroom, I'm going to be guilty. So let's try everything. Now, and I think that they did a miscalculation on the, she and Chesboro on the We Want a Speedy Trial. I think they thought they would get a look at the material and that they'd catch people off guard because of their own racism and sexism. It didn't occur to them that homegirl was ready. So they did all that, but on Wednesday, their last argument, Francis, I don't know if you saw this, girl, they tried to argue that charging her with this, with these crimes, was a violation of her First Amendment rights.
I mean, are you kidding me? She got a First Amendment right for bad lawyering?
No. I was like, whoa, wait. She has a First Amendment right to steal voting information?
I have the right
to commit free
speech. My speech is free speech. You know what? Diet Dr. Pepper.
What?
She could not be separated from her Diet Dr. Pepper. That's what I think. This is why we got this guilty plea.
No, that's what it was. That's, and I know as a person who has a very toxic relationship with Diet Coke. There, I said it. It's codependent, whatever. I understand that. So basically, she's the second person in this whole, this part of the cabal, this particular of all the felonies and lawsuits and whatever, this one, she's the second person to have pled guilty. The first person was a few months ago, Scott Hall, last month, the bail bondsman. There are 17 people left. And as of this moment, Chesboro will now, his case will still be going forward starting tomorrow, which will be the first day, I believe, of jury picking.
You know what I find so juicy about this? She was there on December 20th in the big meeting where everybody was running down the halls and screaming and losing their minds and the plan for January 6th. Let me tell you what can we buy stock in Diet Dr. Pepper? Because I want Sydney to have everything that's she likes, okay? I want her to feel comfortable while she is on her six-year probation, right? Because I believe these lips are about that's to right.
Well, be clear about something. Unless they have Diet Dr. Pepper in the commissary, bitch ain't gonna have it. Because she may not be going to jail in Georgia, but homegirl going to jail. Like, oh, I know so. Because the problem with her problems are just beginning in this realm. Because the reality is, so what she's pled guilty to, she's admitted, because as part of this guilty plea, not only does she have to.
It's hilarious. I love that.
Write an apology letter, which I think is hilarious, to the citizens of Georgia. And I really do hope that they stand over her shoulder. Or going, no, that's not sincere enough, Sydney, take another pass. I want to cry when I read this.
Yep. You know, she is going to black mama that no, and dot your eyes.
That's right. No, I don't like that. No. Did you even learn cursive? No, Sydney, let's try again. More sincere. Not only does she have to do that, and she's got, well, this hasn't been, you know, adjudicated yet, but what they're asking for is 6 years probation and this apology letter, but it also means that she's required to testify in future hearings. Now, she can't not testify because of this plea, which means once you have homegirl on the stand,
that's right,
you get to ask her whatever you want, which is going to make it very hard for everybody else.
That's right. I can't wait. And what they're saying now is that it will probably offer a proffer, ask for a proffer from Jack Smith. She gets to be queen for a day. And if they like what she has to say, she can continue being unindicted.
That's right. And the reality is that part of this admission is not only is she admitting to her role in the January 2021 breach of the election systems in rural Coffee County, Georgia. She's part of that admitting is that she's admitting to entering into a criminal conspiracy with Mr. Hampton, who was the Coffee County election supervisor. I would like to point out that the sprawling lengths to which people will go to disenfranchise Black people
that they went through
and that
this happened.
That's what I'm saying.
What we always must. You know what I watched yesterday? I watched the January 6th, the Whatchamajigget Next Door, Andrea Pelosi's documentary. I watched it and.
Oh, yeah.
The Insurgent, I think it was Next Door, something like that. And, you know, these people, if it were not for catching a case, for walking into that Capitol and whatever they did. If it weren't for catching that case, these people would be out there raising money and running for office, okay? They still, to a number, just about everyone, even the gay man, who I can't believe was up in the Capitol acting a fucking fool. These people believe that they were right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And this is what kills me. Her attorneys aren't even at this point. They're not trying to say she didn't do stuff. Their big argument and what they're in a kerfuffle or whatever, a fit about right now, is she wasn't the driving mm-hmm. force behind this cabal of criminality. She was in it. But she wasn't like the pep squad. She wasn't like, right. They're trying to argue degrees of involvement. And I'm like,
levels. What they saying is this shit had levels.
I watched this bitch.
Yes.
I watched this bitch stand up there repeatedly and lie. And you know, what's the thing? No, you're not supposed to break into something. You know, you can't, you shouldn't be looking at secret voter data,
Angela,
and people's private voting information. Like, this is the concept that you are somehow not, you're a little less guilty than other people.
But what about her First Amendment rights? What about her first, what you're not paying attention to, thank you very much, is Ms. Powell's
right.
First Amendment rights.
Right,
she gets to break into voting machines. That's part of her, that's how she speaks.
That's how she speaks?
Her language.
That's her language?
Her love language.
The stealing of private data.
The stealing of private data. I don't understand what your problem is, y'all.
I mean, let me tell you something. She really should employ us. I don't know why the Nugent Shelton Institute or Shelton Nugent, I forget which way it goes. I don't know why you or Callie or Helinski, you all didn't get a request for an attorney.
We didn't get shit. We didn't get nothing.
For legalish representation. Why haven't we received that request? Because I believe we would still be in the courtroom arguing.
And we would. We would.
We'd be sleeping in that courtroom talking about, can we argue some more? We're awake. If you're awake, Your Honor. Have you realized, okay, for she has a coupon.
A Groupon.
For one felony. She got a Groupon for a felony. She got a Groupon.
Speaking of Groupon, you know who needs a fucking Groupon is the GOP. They need a Groupon on a speaker. Okay.
Can we talk about, okay, first of all, we said it before Nancy. I do have to say that. Francis said before Nancy Pelosi, who you know we adore, you said when this started going down, when Jim Jordan was on his second bad vote, you were like, I'm trying to understand math here.
I sure did.
How is he getting less votes? And they're acting like that's an indication they should keep going.
I was like, we need to fucking math this shit because I don't understand how they count. Okay?
There is somebody getting the most votes. Hakeem keeps getting the most votes and keeps not getting the job.
He's not getting the job. How did Steve Scalise in the room, okay, get 214 votes but not take a vote? I don't understand that. How did you get less votes than him, take the vote, and insist on voting again? I don't. And then lose more votes and then continue to say, I'm the man.
We should have another vote. You know what? I think I can lose by even more if we have another vote. I mean, wait, what? Did I say that? This is what kills me. It doesn't make any sense. And I am so sick of the media and other people suggesting the Democrats should do something about it. They are doing something about it. They are voting for a speaker every time there's a vote. That is what they're supposed to do. They are voting for a speaker. They are not the people who can't get it done.
And it's not their responsibility.
And they couldn't if they wanted to. It's like there most of that conference, the 140, mm-hmm. was it 147 people who voted against democracy. It doesn't, the mm-hmm. fact that a Democrat at mm-hmm. all approves of something means they won't. Which is, I'm at the point, and I know what you're going to say, that it's illegal and probably immoral.
Right. Let's not land on.
Don't just react.
Let's not land on listen solid to what ground. I'm proposing. Let's live a little bit lifted at this moment. Yeah, in the gray. Now,
in the gray. In the marshy, marshy.
Right. It's a liminal state. Mordor, now, please, Angela, and please go.
You know what I'm saying? It's what I'm saying. Let it set them on fire.
Okay. I was not expecting that. Oh my God, we shall not be setting anybody on fire. Okay. Literally, we will not be setting anybody on fire. Okay. Would you let me? You can make an argument.
Okay. Why don't we? Okay. Come see, come aside, Espa. Okay. You will say figuratively, fine. I mean, literally. Let's set them on fire. And this is why. Follow me. If we set them on fire and then we suggest that they put themselves out.
Oh, girl, that's just cruel.
And they go, no.
They can't come together.
No. Or maybe it's a teaching tool. Fire as a teaching tool. I'm trying to teach them. Look, we've tried reasoning. We've tried, Katie Porter's whiteboard. We've tried a lot of shit to get these people to understand. Maybe once they're on fire, they will have an epiphany and they'll go, you know what? We should put ourselves out. You know, sometimes the Democrats do make good suggestions. Do you see what happened there? Do you see what happened? I just changed the world. Yes.
Can I tell you something? Figuratively, that is what is happening right now. Figuratively, they are on fire. Figuratively, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but we are watching them
run burning into that chamber every time.
This is what I feel like we're watching. They're on fire and we're watching them go, you know what?
That's right.
To heck with all of you. I'm going to pour more kerosene on myself. Now what you got? Oh, I got some more kerosene. I'm going to do that. How about some vegetable oil? Ha ha. Like just, so I'm like, maybe if we can make this lesson physical, maybe their love language is physical. Maybe they need a physical manifestation of the process of letting in other ideas. Okay, if you want to say that maybe setting them on fire is extreme for the first volley, maybe. I will concede maybe there's something a little less intense. Like, I'm kind of married to setting them on fire, I think.
Well, I am only thinking about you and your trebuchets and the tar and fire. Like, usually that's not the first volley. Usually we'll bring the arrowmen in. You know, we don't send fire first. You know, it takes a moment to get the trebuchets into place. So I'm just saying.
I hear what you're saying, but it just feels like, okay. I mean, maybe we could start with.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, you really seriously don't see it?
I do. I actually do. I really, really do. I think you actually really describe the situation that we're in right now and the fact that I cannot believe that we are looking at Patrick Henry as who do you mean? And somebody who is steadily going, I don't want this job. I don't want this.
Talk about somebody you didn't know existed. I mean,
please no. I don't want to be because you know please why no. It's so interesting. First of all, let's also talk about, you know, what I can't get past is the people who voted against Jim Jordan getting death threats.
Yeah, like these people, this is how they do things. They don't offer anything. They don't compromise. They don't try.
That's right.
What do? They offer to set you on fire. See, when they do it, it's called a strategy. When I do it, it's crazy.
And so this man, Patrick Henry, literally is saying, I don't want to even be seen in the process of negotiating with Democrats on anything for fear of my life.
Right. Do you think he would say that if he was on fire?
But here we are. Here we are. We're about to elect this pro temp guy.
Just give him more power so they can get something done.
That's right. To get something done while Jim Jordan tries to coalesce more power. And let's not even sleep on why Jim Jordan would like to be the Speaker of the House during the election.
Which I don't think can happen, by the way.
I think so, too.
Well, his only, because I believe that Jim Jordan is not long for freedom, because he is going to get implicated in a way, a very direct way. It's absolutely unconscionable that he would, that anyone would even vote for him. And it, I have nothing but, you know, people keep saying it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, you know, this not being able to get through. But I really do think we have to ask ourselves, do the Republicans not understand math at its most basic level?
No, they don't.
Because this is not getting better. And I love the idea, it has been floated, that Republicans are staggering their mm-hmm. no votes just to make the point more clear that he's losing support, mm-hmm. that so that every vote that they plan to take away another yep. vote, like to make it like a death by a thousand cuts.
Yep, you could. Which,
or you know what you could do? You could vote for Hakeem.
And get things done.
If you really want government to run, how about instead of asking the Democrats to give up their agenda and trying to govern, how about you tell the Republicans that they have a patriotic responsibility to get this government, Congress functioning, and they should vote for the most popular candidate, which is Hakeem Jeffries.
And that is our final word. And now it's time for emails, emails. Time to go get your emails.
I want to thank you for writing us at mm-hmm. frangela08@gmail.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And also on Patreon, there's a way to write us, and people have been, and we thank you. This is from one of our favorite OGs, Kamala H. She wrote to us about an idiot story that we will probably be doing this week, or it'll be in a week, about a elementary school teacher who gave her kindergarten students gummies, drugged up gummies.
Jesus Christ.
With melatonin and I think CBD. So she sent us in this idiot, and she said, this is what she wrote. This isn't just stupid. It's wrong, illegal, and potentially dangerous. Yeah. You might need a meeting on this one at the Callier Institute to decide who gives this one the beatdown. Also, I proudly carry myself as a member of the Army of the Anti-Dumb who quotes you in class. There was a time. Y'all don't believe fat meat is greasy in context in turning in work at her job. Still working on waxing that pony twice while teaching social services and college success on the south side of Chicago. We love and adore you, girl. The idea that you were at your job using any of our statements is delightful and makes our entire week.
Thank you so much. And this is from Peter R. Thank you so much. He says, I would like to nominate both of you to head the new DPDF, the Department for the Prevention of Dumb Fuckery. Thank you, Peter.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
He says enforcement powers would include showing the perpetrators of the results of their actions and sending them to their room until they can articulate what a better action might have been. That seems right.
That seems
Among
right.
other benefits, this could empty the seats of the Chaos Caucus for significant periods of time. But Congress might be able to actually get something done. Thank you.
Thank you. And from Usha C, she wrote, thank you, y'all make my week every week. My family loves Frangela. My daughter walked through the room and said, wait, who is that? I like them. I'm white, but love seeing and hearing Black voices giving voice to the racial injustice that happens in this country. Thank you for all you do. Oh, I saw a movie y'all were in, and you were the only good thing about this movie. It was, I'm just not that into you. You stole the show. So I'm happy I could make your week. And I make designs for fun, and you can have them if you want to use them. I have large PGNS.
Just large what?
What do you know what that stands for?
I don't know what that is.
PGNS.
Okay.
I know, but she hasn't. We want to thank you. She sent us some graphic designs she made for Black Mama.
They're amazing.
They're really amazing. They're really cute. So, and I just want to say thank you. And I told her that Jennifer Connelly also said we were the best thing in the movie.
She did. She literally did. Like the opening night of the movie.
With her mother. Yep. I got to the premiere and she brought her mom over to us. And I was like, I wanted my mother to meet you guys because you're the best thing in the movie. Adore her.
I'm Frances Callier.
I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela. Thank you so much for listening to The Final Word.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.